Honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer. But because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters of but fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogances. Lead us to the saving of our country, and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace. A peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
That was FDR, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, on June 6th, 1944, I don't know about you, but I'm amazed every time I hear it. And I think we're all pretty amazed by Tom Rice, the 94-year-old who's going to be skydiving again Monday to mark the 72nd anniversary of the D-Day invasion, when he and 13,000 other paratroopers jumped behind enemy lines.
We were in the most exclusive fraternity that occupies space on the face of the earth. That is a foot soldier and the airborne on patrol in enemy territory. That is a fraternity. Mm-hmm. There's not many guys in that.
No. And there were a lot that didn't get to come home.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were wounded in the first week of the Battle of the Bulge. It went on for a while after that. Is there a chance that being wounded when you did saved your life? I don't mean to minimize what you went through or the suffering that you experienced.
Yeah, who knows? That's just projection, and it may be a good possibility.
Because there are a lot of 101st Airborne guys who kept going after that. And who died.
They went on down to Alsace-Lorraine and did patrols into Hurtigan Forest, and they did a lot of things there.
And you have a very unique way of honoring the guys that you served with, and especially those who didn't come home. Tell me how you got the idea to jump out of an airplane every June 6th.
Risk taker again.
Yeah.
Full of energy. I had 51 years of long-distance running. There's got to be something else out there I can do.
Yeah.
You see? I had 44 years of high school and junior college teaching.
What'd you teach?
I taught U.S. government and U.S. history. And I never told anybody in the class about my activity in the 101st.
Wow.
Except once in page 476, chapter 24 in the history textbook. There was a picture of a lieutenant with, and I'm sure you've seen it, it's made a postage stamp out of it, with a piece of cardboard that's number 23 written on it, and a lot of guys around him, all of the guys trying to get eager to get into the conversation with General Eisenhower.
The picture in the textbook gave you the platform to share a little bit with your class.
Yeah, that's the only time. Mm-hmm. And we only spent just a short period of time on it, and only in one class.
So all those years, you didn't share your own personal story, but you kept running, like you said. You're obviously still in great shape. So it was just a few years ago that you started this annual tradition? How old were you when you did that first commemorative jump?
In the 91, 92.
Uh-huh.
Haven't been doing it too long, but...
Yeah, but so for the last 3 years, every June 6th, you go up in a tandem jump and skydive.
See, I'm not going to compromise this knee. This knee has been replaced.
What do you get from that when it's June 6th, a day that you experienced from start to finish, that guys just like you were killed fighting that day, and you jump out of that airplane to skydive and then parachute to the ground? What do you think of? What's the significance of that?
Well, the idea is to honor those guys as best I can, and that's the only way I can do it. For what they did, those were captured, killed, wounded, whatever. A couple of them in Fort Rosecrans that I know.
That's the
I don't go methodically through the whole process. It's a compounded thrill that's part of my risk nature to free fall 9,000 feet, you know. So I'm enjoying this thing like mad. I'm posing for the photographer.
Yeah.
You didn't see the picture.
I did. Two thumbs up.
Yeah.
You're, and I'll put this picture on hometownheroesradio.com in the Facebook page, but here you are skydiving. I can see the wind resistance on you, and you've got both arms out with two thumbs up.
Yeah. We're having a great time.
I can tell you're having a great time, but you're also drawing attention to those who didn't come home.
Yeah, then part of the idea is to draw as much attention publicity-wise, although I didn't think of that at the moment, but that's what's happened. I am telling you, everything has broken open on top of me in publicity. And I keep telling Brenda, when is this going to stop? I can settle down to being a human being.
Well, thanks for letting me intrude your privacy here today. So the United States Parachute Association, the president, jumps with you every June 6th.
Every June 6th, yeah. He comes in from Arizona, and we make a tandem jump. And he gives me the controls when I get down to about 4,000 feet, and I fool around, and then he takes them over at 3,000 feet. I said, let's do some nosedive things. Let's do some stunts and things up there, but I'm not sure he's too anxious about that. In the plane that we went up on last time, there was a squirrel, the guy with a canvas between his arms. And
one of those? Yeah, those squirrels.
Between his legs.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get to see him because he was the last guy out, and I was falling free then. I'd like to have seen him. But Brandon,
something tells me you'd like to do it. You'd like to be the squirrel.
Yeah.
Is there a thrill out there that you haven't achieved yet that you're waiting for?
I pegged my livelihood to 101.
Okay.
101 airborne.
You want to go like a screaming eagle,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, well, yeah. The guys have got a formula where they're going to use an old World War II helmet, and in it is going to be some kind of a liquor concoction that's going to knock you off your feet if you stand on a ladder 6 feet tall. And the last guy in the regiment who is still alive is going to have to drink that concoction and jump off of that 6-foot ladder. I'm not looking to that one. But
I think you might have a good shot of drinking out of that helmet, though.
Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't drink.
Uh-huh.
I never drunk, never smoked, whatever. Maybe that's why I'm that old.
I think that's why you're that young. Well, one thing I want to make sure I say is thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us your story, and thank you for keeping the memory of your fellow airborne troops and World War II veterans in general in the consciousness, in mind. What would you say you're most proud of and most thankful for?
The support that the society has given me, the protection. You grow up in this city, this is a paradise to grow up in. The opportunities placed before me on so many different occasions. My gravesite is already sitting in Fort Rosecrans. I know where it is.
You know what kind of view you're going to have.
Yeah,
huh?
Number 325 in Columbarium 3A. So a democracy allows for all freedom of expression, etc. I got fed up with teaching about the activities of human beings as congressmen and all their corruptibility. So I began to move toward the theoretical in constitution building. And so I recall to these kids all of their gifts that they have been given in the Bill of Rights. There were 22 of them at first. Then they went down to 12, and now they're 10. And I like to appoint all of those things, freedom of speech, press, assembly, petition. So you can understand this, Joe. You've got hands. You can choose any occupation you want as long as it's legal. And so you got feet. You can move around this country anytime you want. There's no borderline police stopping you going into Arizona. I appointed ideas about each one of those things so they could really understand what they're getting into and what opportunities are placed before them.
Well, and it hit me that you spent all those decades teaching these impressionable young minds about the Bill of Rights and about all the freedoms that they enjoy in this country, and they never knew how big a price you paid personally to secure those freedoms.
Yeah. This last year and a half, all of this stuff has come down on me. They're not giving me a chance to rest. I just came back from Belgium.
Yeah, how was that? What did you get out of
that? Fantastic trip. The Greatest Generation took 21 of us from the United States, and we came together in Washington, D.C., and we were going to go to the Battle of the Bulge. We're going to survey again the northern corridor of that entire bulge area, the places that the Germans had occupied, and we yo-yoed out of Luxembourg every day in a different direction. France, Germany, Holland, Luxembourg, and Belgium, all of those countries, we yo-yoed out all around the Battle of the Bulge area. We went into Bastogne, and I noticed right on the right side there is the same old cemetery that I saw in 1944. Mm. Now it's covered with snow, and it looks really eerie. They threatened to kill me in Bastogne in 1944. Now what's going to happen in 2014? They damn near killed me again. Because I came down with pneumonia later. Anyway, all the people in the city came in. They had pictures for us to sign. They wanted to talk to us. We marched up the hill, the Bastogne, to McAuliffe Square, where there's a big tank with a big shell hole in it. And so here we are, thousands and thousands of people just around that square.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for the King and Queen of Belgium. They came through with an entourage of military officers, so many stars that you couldn't count them. It looks like you're looking into the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in our red jackets. I told these guys, let's not call them red jackets. Let's call them the red badge of courage.
Mm.
They like that.
Well, it's fitting.
Yeah, the king and queen came by, shaking hands with all of us red-jacketed guys. I took her hand, and I kissed it.
You kissed the queen of Belgium's hand.
Yeah. I didn't know whether that was protocol or not, but she got her hand kissed. That was it. That's too bad.
And I'm sure you saw that what you did is not forgotten there.
Oh, yeah.
That they can't imagine their lives without the sacrifice that you guys made. That had to be pretty emotional for you.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, it was. I was three things. I was a soldier, I was an athlete, and I was a teacher. Those three things.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it didn't matter too much.
Well, it sounds like you did a pretty good job at all three of those.
I kind of focus on those. And so today we focused on soldier.
And there's a lot more to his soldier story. Go to hometownheroesradio.com if you want to listen to the original two-part interview. And also keep an eye out for news coverage Monday when Tom makes another anniversary jump in San Diego. Join us again next time when we meet a glider pilot who participated in that massive Normandy operation. I'm Paul Leffler, encouraging you to remember our veterans on D-Day and every day, and reminding you again that freedom is not free.